As I stand before you and as we look into the word of the Lord once again this morning, I want to share some scripture with you from the first chapter of 1 Samuel. If you have your Bibles and want to read along in the scripture reading with me this morning, then please turn to the first chapter of 1 Samuel, and I want to begin my reading with verse 9. We're going to read in this about a woman of long ago named Hannah. And Hannah really wanted to have a child. But the Bible says that the Lord had shut up her womb. Hannah was barren and she wasn't able to conceive. And this became a great burden to Hannah. And so she took her burden to the Lord. And that's where I want to begin reading there with 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And I want to read, stop reading there with verse 17. I want to, in order to perhaps preface the tone of this message today, and I have a song on my heart, and I want to ask Brother Sanford if he would to come back, and Sister Gary, if you would. I've got a couple of verses of a song from the church hymnal that I would like for Brother Ronnie to lead. Page 164. Brother Sanford, if you could lead just a couple of verses of 164. And I want to, today, as we sing this song, I want you to think with me to get ready to hear from the Word of God the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart today. As we sing this song, I want you to think, I want you to really reflect with me today about the great blessings that you have had in prayer. Think about the ways that God has blessed you in life when you were calling upon the name of the Lord. And we need to do what Hannah did and what is spoken about in this song. We need to take our cares and our burdens and our troubles, we need to take them to the Lord, and we need to leave them there. And so let's sing this, and you reflect upon the great gift of prayer while we sing.
So at least do the first and the third. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you, and he'll lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust in every surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
I can't help but share this with you today. I have to do this. Not very long ago, really, our youngest son, Jeremy, of course, Jeremy, he was called to preach when he was 22 years old, and he was single, and he began to... Well, he called me, I don't know, a year and a half or so back. And he told me, he said, Dad, he said, and him and Brittany had dated some, and then she would not want to date him. And he called me up, and he said, Dad, he said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, he spoke to me. And he said, I know without any doubt that I'm supposed to marry her. I had talked to him before about how important a good wife would be to his ministry. And I believe that. And I've experienced that. And so as time went on, he would call me. And he would say, Dad, I just don't know. I don't know what to do. He said, I don't have any doubt that I'm supposed to marry Brittany, but I just can't convince her of that. I mean, that's what he would express that to me in a way. I mean, if you could have heard him talk, he would. It wasn't a casual conversation. He would express that to me in a way that it would just drive me to my knees. I would get down on my, after I talked with him, sometimes we talked for an hour, I would get down on my knees there right in my bedroom when I hung up the phone, and I would just storm the gates of heaven in prayer about that. I mean, I would just pray and pray and pray. Lord, if, you know, I was concerned about not only that, but about his ministry. And I would pray and pray and pray about that, and I would instruct him to pray about that. And, there were several times that this happened. He would call me up, same thing, just burdened about it. You know, I just can't seem to convince her of what I feel. And then one day she called me and she told me the Lord had spoken to her. And I wanted to say this, to share that with you today, to tell you, don't you think that yesterday afternoon there at Bethel Church in Indianapolis, when that girl came walking towards me in that beautiful white dress, she came up there and she stood next to my son and spoke those vows with tears running down her eyes. Don't you think the thoughts of all those prayers were just flooding my soul? God will hear our prayers, won't he? God will answer our prayers. And when God begins to work on one end about something, he'll work on the other one too, won't he? If God has burdened you to talk to somebody about their soul, you can trust God to be working on the other end of it as well. And if God has those things that are within God's will, God will work in every way that he needs to bring those things to pass. And I want to talk to you today about prayer and the importance of prayer. And I want to, as far as I'm concerned, this is one of the most beautiful illustrations of prayer in the whole Bible. When I have read time and time again this about Hannah, it has struck me as being, as far as I'm concerned, and you may have a different one that you read and feel that way about, and that's okay, but as far as I'm concerned, what happened here with Hannah defines prayer as well as anything or any place in the Bible defines it. She was very, very burdened about not being able to have a child. And you know something? I'm convinced that we never really effectively pray unless we're burdened about what we're praying about. And you know, for the people of God, when we are not burdened, when we are not burdened enough to effectively pray, you know what we need to do? We need to pray about that. We need to pray and we need to ask God to burden us the way that we ought to be burdened. And I believe the Lord can and I believe he will. But you don't really get down to the great, effectual, fervent prayers that we spoke about in Sunday school this morning from the book of James. James said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you don't really pray those types of prayers unless you are burdened about what you're praying about. Amen. Well, Hannah was burdened. I mean, the Bible talked about her here of having bitterness of soul. And when Eli, saw what was happening there, because she was only speaking in her heart. And listen, if we are going to effectually, fervently pray before God, we're going to have to speak to God in our heart. If our prayers don't do anything, but if our prayers don't consist of anything except for words rolling off of our lips, we're not going to hear from heaven. She was talking to God in her heart. From what I understand here, her lips She was moving her lips, but there was nothing vocal about it. There were no words that could be heard. And I don't know what, to be honest with you, when I've read this, I really don't know what was wrong with Eli. I don't really know why he would have drawn the conclusion that he had. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't close enough to God at the time. I don't know. I don't know why that he, when he saw this woman moving her lips and no words coming out, I don't have any idea why he couldn't have just said, well, she must be praying. I don't know what was wrong with him. But anyway, when he saw it, he assumed that she was drunk. And she said, no, my Lord, I'm not drunk. I've not drunk wine or strong drink, but I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and I have poured my soul out before the Lord. Friends, that is prayer. When we come to God with a burdened heart, when we come to God with that type of sorrowful spirit that Hannah had and that she was talking about, when we pray is when we pour our soul out before the Lord. And you may pray out loud, you may pray vocally, you may pray silently. Listen, true prayer comes from within and not from without. God's not looking for fancy words when we pray. God's not looking for vain repetition when we pray. In fact, God hates that. That was one of the things that Jesus told the disciples not to do. He said, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Don't go and stand in the public place where you can pray in a way that you want people to see you. Jesus said, enter into the closet. Find that secret place of prayer with God. You know, and it doesn't matter. Listen, even in a public service or in a public place, if we're going to pray before God, even when other people are around us, when we have prayer here in our worship services, we need to enter our closet. We need to find that place where it's us and God, and we don't need to be praying that others may see. We need to be praying that God will hear and will answer our prayers. I've had some wonderful blessings at the throne of grace. I'm going to confess something before you today. I may be the only one. To be honest with you, I hope that I am. I've got a feeling that I'm not. In my Christian life, in my attempt to walk with God, from time to time, the Lord reminds me of things. And it seems that my greatest deficiency in my Christian life, the thing that comes to my mind from time to time, and God convicts me of it and causes me to realize that I lack at times in my prayer life. I do. I find myself oftentimes letting myself get too busy with things. You know, I'll tell you, whatever it is, you know, whatever that we are doing for the Lord, however that we are serving the Lord, if we're helping with the youth group, or if you're a preacher or the pastor or the song leader, whatever it is that we are doing for the Lord, we never ought to let ourselves get too busy to go before God and pray. Because I'll tell you something that I believe is an impossibility. You could sing all the songs that you wanted to sing. You could preach all the sermons you wanted to preach. You could meet with the youth group night after night and help them and have all kinds of youth programs and whatever. But you know what? I'll tell you, no matter what we do, there's something that is an absolute impossibility, and that is that without an active, healthy prayer life, you cannot stay close to the Lord. It can't be done. If you don't talk to God, if you don't have a regular prayer life, if you don't stay in touch with the Lord, you're going to drift away. You're not going to be the spiritual person that you ought to be. I remember reading a biography of John Leland. Brother Leland was one of the leading preachers in the early days of the Virginia Baptist, and he confessed some things in that book that he wrote, and he said something that I have found in my life is he said, sometimes I have the spirit of prayer, and sometimes it seems that I don't have it. And I read that, and I thought about that, and I thought, well, here was Brother Leland that was born in 1754 and was a great servant of the Lord and had the same problems that I seem to have from time to time. But you know what? If our prayer life before God is not what it ought to be, then we need to pray about that. And if you don't feel like praying, then go pray about that. We ought to pray before the Lord. 1 Timothy 2:1, I will therefore that first of all, prayers, supplications, intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for all men. Paul also said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, I believe it was, he said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Jesus in Matthew chapter 21 tells us all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing that ye shall receive. We need to pray. Hannah took her cares to the Lord and left them there. In the Apostle Peter's writings, he tells us to cast our cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. Have you ever in your life had a great burden on your heart? You know, if you tell me that you've never done this, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have a hard time believing it. Have you ever had a great burden and you tried to just carry it around? You tried to work it out yourself. You tried to deal with it yourself. You tried to be strong in yourself. You just had that great burden on your shoulders and you just carried it here and you carried it there and it was weighing you down. Sure, I believe that all of us have done that. All of us at times in our life, we have failed to do what we have been invited to do. And that is to take that great load, to take that great burden and cast it on the Lord. Throw it down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Take it to the throne of grace. The Hebrew letter, the 4th chapter of Hebrews, verse 16, said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the reason that we are able to come boldly unto the throne of grace, the Bible teaches us that the reason that we're able to do that is because we have a great high priest and he has lived in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ lived here in the flesh. He lived here as a man and he understands our infirmities. I'll tell you what, you're never going to have anything. You're never going to have anything afflict your life that Jesus won't be able to understand and that he won't be able to help. And because of that, seeing that we have this great high priest in heaven, you know, the Bible tells me that there is one God and there is one mediator between men and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And we can't get to God without going through Jesus. We can't. We cannot touch the Heavenly Father without going through that one mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will intercede for us, and that's exactly what he is doing. He is now sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for our prayers. If you read the 8th chapter of the Roman letter, you'll also find out that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit helps us when we pray, because we know not what we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever gone to God in prayer with something on your heart and something on your mind perhaps, and you've gone to God to pray about it, and the next thing you know, you're praying about this and you're praying about that? You know, the Holy Spirit will bring those things out. That's exactly what Paul was saying there. We need help when we pray, and we've got it. We've got it. We come to God when we realize that we can't carry that anymore. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Those times when you say, I can't do this anymore. I can't carry this anymore. I'm not sufficient for this. I'm not strong enough for this. I'll tell you what, friends, nobody ever humbles themselves before the Lord until they realize their own weaknesses. If you think you're strong, if you think you're tough enough in yourself, if you think you can carry it yourself, then that's exactly what you'll end up doing. We've got to be weak in order to be strong. When we're weak, the Lord is strong in us. And we come before him and we cast those things. And I wanted to say this earlier when I was talking, and I wanted to be sure to say this today to all of you young people here this morning. You be sure that you pray for a spouse. You be sure that you pray about the one that God would have you to spend your life with. You be sure that you pray about that, because if you'll do that, if you'll pray about that, if you'll let God intercede in your life in that way, God will never lead you in the wrong direction. God will never lead you astray. And what an important step that it is to marry someone. I'll tell you, too many people today take it way too lightly, don't they? They take it way too lightly. And you be sure that you pray about that. You let God supply your need in that way, and you'll have the best marriage you could possibly have. You look to the Lord for that. Hannah looked to God for a child, and God heard her prayer, and he answered it. And you see, Hannah didn't pray selfishly. She didn't ask God to do this selfishly. She told the Lord, she said, if you will bless me in this way, if you will give me a man child, if you will hear my prayers and answer my prayers and give me a man child, then I'll give him back to you. You see, she didn't pray just to, consume it upon her own lust. She didn't pray selfishly. The Bible teaches us not to pray in that way. James said in the first chapter of James, perhaps, he spoke about that. Maybe it's the second chapter, but he spoke about wrongful prayer, and he said, oftentimes you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. He said, a lot of times you don't get what you're asking because you're not doing anything but asking it for yourself. I've had some of the greatest blessings in prayer when I was praying for somebody other than me. Praying for God to intercede in somebody else's life. Praying for God to save one of my lost friends. Praying for God to help one of my saved friends. Folks, we need each other's prayers. This is a tough world to live in, isn't it? I mean, there are things, we're weak. We are weak. And every day there are things all around us that are difficult to deal with. There are things that there are temptations around us all every day that are difficult for us to deal with. We need the Lord's help and we need each other's prayers. We need to pray when people are sick. We spoke about that this morning from the book of James where he spoke about those that are sick. He said, call for the elders of the church and let them pray, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. We need to pray about that. The Bible teaches us that when one of us hurts, we ought to all hurt. And if a church is what they ought to be, that's exactly what will happen. When one of us is burdened, we ought to all be burdened. If one of us is pouring their hearts out for their child that's sick, then we ought to all feel that weight. If we're pouring our heart out for somebody that's lost, we ought to all feel that weight. We ought to be able to pray. I'll tell you what I believe about the people of God. I'll tell you what I believe about this revival that I've been in this week. I believe that people were praying. I believe there were people here at my church that were praying about the meeting. I could feel the effect of those prayers. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for the long-reaching effect that prayer is able to have. You can pray for me here, and God can touch me miles away. I can pray for you miles away, and God can touch you here. Prayer doesn't have any boundaries. It spans the miles. It doesn't know any limitations. When we pray to God, God is able, the Bible says, to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. God is able to answer our prayers in even a far greater way than what we would ever imagine that he would. I'll tell you something that, before I close, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to prove this to you today from the scriptures. I'll tell you what the people of God can do. You don't hear this term, it seems, as much as you used to, but I'll tell you what the people of God can do. We can pray down the power of God. We can pray it down. I'll tell you what, that's the only way we're going to do it. You know, we live in a world of many different types of communication, and they seem to advance all the time. When I was a kid, nobody emailed anybody. If you wanted to talk to somebody, you wrote a letter or you used a telephone, or you walk down the street and talk to them. But I mean, as time goes on, we have more and more and more ways of communicating with each other. But friends, there has always been only one way to get in touch with God, and that's by praying. If you don't pray, you can't talk to him. If you don't pray, you can't reach him. And you know what? If God is your father, you ought to call home from time to time. Amen? We ought to talk to our Heavenly Father. There's no other way for us to reach him no other way. And I completely lost the thought that I started with, but that's okay. There's no other way for us to get to the Lord except through prayer. But we can pray down God's power. That's what I was talking about. We can pray down the power of God. Solomon did it, didn't he? When they built the temple, you read there in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and you can read about a prayer of dedication that Solomon prayed when the temple was finished. They had built a brazen scaffold, and they brought it out there, and Solomon got on his knees on that scaffold there before all of Israel, and he prayed a beautiful, powerful prayer of dedication over the temple there before all of the people. And in the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles, the Bible says that when Solomon had made an end of praying, that the glory of the Lord filled the house to where the priest could not even enter. Solomon prayed, and God's power and God's glory came down and took up abode in that temple to where it was too, the power of God and the glory of God was too prevalent there for the priest to even go in. Wouldn't you like to, couldn't you imagine this? Couldn't you imagine Sunday morning all of us standing outside on the front steps, and somebody says, "What's going on?" And we say, "You know what? We're going to have to wait for a little while to go in there, because right now the glory of God has filled our house and we can't even go in there right now." I mean, there was such a presence of God there in the temple at the end of that prayer that mortal man couldn't even go in until it had subsided. Isn't that something? Boy, it sure is. You read what happened there on the great day of Pentecost. You know, we talk a lot of times about the fact that there were 3,000 people that were saved that day, and what a wonderful revival that was. What a wonderful day that was for 3,000 people to be saved and added to the church. But you read about what happened just prior to that. There was 120 people that had gathered together there in an upper room along with the women there and the children. I believe everybody had come together, and the Bible says they were all in one accord and they were praying. They were talking to God. And shortly after that, God heard their prayer and the power from heaven came down. Bible says the Spirit of God came as a rushing mighty wind. I'd like to feel that spiritual wind blowing. Amen. I love to feel the presence of God when He shows up. But I'm convinced of this, that before the Lord manifests His presence among us, we're going to do some praying, aren't we? We're going to do some praying before we see that. I'm thankful for the gift of prayer. I'm thankful that I have somebody that can take care of anything that afflicts me. I believe there are people right here today. I really do. I'm not just saying this. You've proven this. I believe there are people right here today that would help me. I really do. But you know what? There's a lot of times that I need help that's just not possible for humans to give to me. A lot of times. I need help that goes beyond the capability of men and women. I need help. I need divine help. I got down one time, you know, I'll tell you something, friends. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've never held this back from you, and I don't intend to today. I utterly despise this whole sinner's prayer concept. People that are having other people come up they're having them walk up to the front of the church, and they got a little written out prayer, and they say, "You repeat the words I tell you," and then you go back to your seat, and everything's okay with you. You've prayed the sinner's prayer. What a deceitful thing to do to people. I was 18 years old, and to be honest with you, in the earlier years of my life, I was kind of a rebel about the things of God. My mom sometimes she'd make me go to church. I didn't always go willingly. She'd say, "You get in the car, we're going to church." I was 18 years old, let me tell you something. I didn't get off in my corner and practice praying or anything like that. But one night I got down before the Lord. I got down upon my knees before God. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I had tears running down my face. I was scared to death, and I began to pray to God. And I mean, listen, when I needed that sinner's prayer, God gave it to me. God gave me the prayer that I needed to pray. The Holy Spirit interceded there, and Jesus was mediating, and He gave me that prayer that touched the throne of grace. And when I got finished, I was saved by God's grace. I was praying to the Lord. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was praying to the Lord. I mean, I was crying mightily to God. And it seemed like that I just went somewhere. That's the best way that I've ever been able to describe it. It just seemed like that I went somewhere. And when I went, I was lost. When I came back, I wasn't. I mean, there was just a little space there that I really can't explain to you today. But I know I was crying out to God. And when He saved me, I knew it. I knew it. I knew what God had done for me. And I thank Him today for the gift and the privilege of prayer. Prayer is it is absolutely essential to us being the spiritual people that we ought to be, is to have an active, healthy prayer life. So, what is prayer? It's pouring our soul out before the Lord from a burdened heart. That's what it is, just like Hannah did there in long ago. And God answered her prayer, and she kept her promise to God, and she gave that child back to the Lord, and he became a great servant of the Lord. His name was Samuel, great servant of the Lord. I appreciate your attention today. I ask for your prayers. I need your prayers. I want you to know that I'm trying in my weak way to pray for you. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for the lost. There is no individual. I want you to remember this. There's no individual. There's no church. There's no nation. There's no world that will ever stay close to God without prayer. Amen. It just won't happen. Anybody have a word today?